I'll read from two passages, Isaiah 9, just verse 2, and then John 1, 6 through 9, and the theme obviously is light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. And John 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is the word of God. I enjoy photography, and after long procrastination this year, I joined Flickr, which is a photo sharing and social media site. So I routinely now look at more photographs than I ever have in my life. You're always comparing your photographs to somebody else's, and incredible photography on that site. You quickly realize that most photography is just the drama of light. Nearly all striking photographs, so not all, but most, have a full tonal range, which means there's a pure black all the way to a pure white. And in that sense, nearly all good photos are a representation of light relative to darkness. And of course, with photography, the more dramatic, the better. Really, there is so much beauty on that site. I think that's the reason I love photography. You get to capture the beauty of what God's created. I have a crazy idea tonight. This is going to sound odd at first. This is a big jump. Stay with me. I think I can make this stick, but you'll be the judge of that in about 10 minutes. Every time you see the beauty of light in the darkness, I mean, you'll see it tonight in a moment when we light all these candles and sing. Every time you see the beauty of light in the darkness, you are actually seeing the character, the hope, and the glory of Jesus Christ. That's why lights are beautiful to you, because that's what you're actually seeing. We read John 1, we almost always spiritualize it. We think spiritually, Jesus is to the world what light is to darkness. But what if Jesus really is the true light? What if you can take that literally? What if that's what that phrase means? What if, in a way that I'm not going to be able to explain tonight, when God creates light, he's saying, this is a true depiction of my Son. Not quite, but very close to, this is my Son. That's why light in certain settings, so, you know, I had to qualify this, so not 6-foot fluorescent tubes, maybe, especially the ones that buzz, but in certain settings, light is beautiful, it's even glorious. What if, when that beauty strikes you, you're actually seeing the Savior of the world, actually seeing the Savior of your own soul? That's why when Paul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, here's what the text says. And suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" That's his response to the light. And the answer is, "I am Jesus," right? I want to try to just spend a little more time on this and make the case and convince you, and then I've got an application that I don't think you're expecting. Let me try to show you how I'm thinking about this and why I think this works. Here's Isaiah 46, 9. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. So in the earliest of times, God knows the end of times, right? And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. So here's God. He has dominion over all time and eternity, and he sees it all at once, right? Knows the end from the beginning. If this is true, that all times, past, present, and future, all times are present to him, it means that in the very beginning, Genesis 1:4, when God separates the light from the darkness, it's just as present in God's mind. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It's also just as present In God's mind, John 1, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And if you add to all that, what Paul says in Colossians 1, that Christ is before all things, and that by him all things were created, so light included, all things were created through him and for him. He's the creative source of all things. You realize Jesus is not the imitation of light, but light is an imitation of Jesus. Light is a depiction or a representation of who he is. Grab your bulletin. Look at the cover of your bulletin for a second. This is Rembrandt. How many light sources are in this picture, this painting? There's two. It's interesting that the artificial light source, the created light source, the little lantern that's being held off to the right, it's not as bright as Jesus himself, right? Rembrandt gets it. Rembrandt understands that the source of light, the real source of light, which dominates the other source of light in this painting, is the Christ child. It's that baby in the manger. And if you look at much Rembrandt, this is the theme of his. You'll see that Christ himself is the light source. The Descent from the Cross, an incredible painting which I got to see in St. Petersburg last spring. In the Descent from the Cross, there's this light emanating from behind the people who are taking Jesus down, but it centers on Jesus himself. I think Rembrandt understands. I don't, how long does it take to make a painting like that? It takes months, I would assume. He's very intentionally creating that scene so that the light is emanating from the body of this child. Of course, you could say that all creation is a depiction of Christ, except there is this special relationship between light and the coming of the Messiah, right? The Magi follow this star that's in the night sky. The glory of the Lord shines on the shepherds. You know, there's no identified light source in that phrase. It's just that the glory of God shines, and we all think, well, it's a light. It's light that shines on them. I think it's helpful to remember that there's no artificial lighting like we have, no electric lighting in Jesus' day. I mean, obviously you know that, but we don't always think about it. So light sources in a home, the home that Jesus grew up in, was probably those small clay lanterns. You can get them on eBay. For $100, you can get a 2,000-year-old clay lamp that you filled with oil and lit, and they still work. You can get them for about $100 on eBay, and my birthday is June 30th, so. But for anybody who is hearing these accounts for the first time, reading the Word for the first time, and of course for millennia after that, if you're in any home at night, it's a lamp that's lighting the home, or candles, and there's the beauty of that single light, or maybe a couple lights in the darkness. It's a wonderful, wonderful image. Well, there's so much more to say here, and obviously not time tonight, but tonight I just want to do this. I want to join as closely as possible light in your minds, light and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to put those two together and keep them there. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. Now I want to tell you something amazing. Matthew 5:14. You know this? You are the light of the world. I've heard Christian songs where that phrase gets taken and it's used in reference to Christ. It's used to describe Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. This is Jesus speaking. And Jesus speaking to this crowd on a hillside. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And he says to all these assembled people, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp. Think again of those little clay lamps sitting in small houses all through Galilee. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house in the same way. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is still the world that Isaiah spoke of, and we are still a people dwelling in a land of deep darkness. And in this world, you are the light. You're it. Jesus' words, not mine, not anybody else's. Relative to Jesus, this is how we think. Who is the true light? How can this possibly be? I mean, what does my light count relative to the light of Jesus Christ? I don't love the way Jesus loves. I'm incapable of the kind of sacrifice that Jesus made. My character is nothing like Jesus. I think it's important to know the context of Matthew 5. The passage that I'm reading to us comes just after the Beatitudes. So the Beatitudes are this wonderful description of this character of humility and righteousness and perseverance. I think Jesus is saying this character is your destiny. This is the work that God will bring to completion in you. He will bring it to completion in you. Philippians 1:6, he's working that character in you. But the fact is, when Jesus is speaking to all these people on this hillside in Galilee, there isn't anybody there who perfectly embodies what the Beatitudes speak about. And still Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Right now, outside these walls are people dwelling in a land of deep darkness. Jesus' answer to that darkness is you. If you want to know the purpose of your existence on this planet, this is it. This is why you're here. You are the light of the world. You emanate the truth and the character of Jesus Christ. It doesn't depend on you being perfect. Christ was perfect in your place. We call that substitutionary atonement. He did everything that was required of you. He was perfect. You don't have to be, and so you can finally admit that you're not. It doesn't matter to him. You're still the light of the world. You just need to walk with him in such a way that you draw on him. In all of your weakness and failings, you draw on him, and he shines through you. And if you're not sure what that means, ask him. Ask him, how do I live in such a way that you shine through me? He'll answer you. And when you get confused and you lose track of what it means to walk with him in such a way that he shines through you, ask him again. It's what I do. I'm routinely confused about this. And this job, this calling that I have that requires me to represent Christ in so many different places, routinely confused, I go back to him and say, Lord, what do I do now? What's it look like to live this life that you called me to? Just ask him. He will show you and guide you in what it means to serve as a light in his stead. And I want to give you an assignment. So I think we had enough candles tonight. So if you've got a candle, the deacons are going to kill me for this, but it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. After tonight, I want you to take the candle out and take it home with you, okay? You are the light of the world. So your candle, it's going to be partially burned. Just take it out of the holder. So you can't have the holders. We need those next year, but you can put those in the receptacles that are going to be in the back of the church. Leave the holder, but take the candle with you and stick it someplace where you're going to see it all the time. And when you see it, think of Jesus saying to you, in all of your weakness and frailty, Jesus saying to you, you are the light of the world. Put this someplace where you can see it on a regular basis. Kitchen counter, your dresser, wherever, you know, the places that you habituate every morning and have a reminder that that's the mission. That's what you're here for, the light of Christ shining through you. It's not about your perfection. There are no perfect people in this room. It's about letting Christ speak and shine and work in you. Amen?